Thanks for tuning in. The podcast warning is that this topic, talking about race and racism and enslavement, can be triggering. I want to talk about Juneteenth. Juneteenth. And I want to connect it to athletics, to sports, to the great Black athletes who inspire us, who motivate us, who showcase their amazing skills. I want to connect it to the history. And we know how important history is. On Thursday, June 17th, 2021, President Joseph Biden signed legislation to make Juneteenth a federal holiday to commemorate the end of enslavement in the United States. And so I'd like to spend some time talking about the history of this country and the amazing resilience of the Black community. I have a disclaimer. In reference to what Julius Lester wrote, he said that to be a slave was to be a human being under conditions in which humanity was denied. They were not slaves. They were people. Their condition was slavery. I use the words enslavement and enslaved people as much as possible. I recognize and honor the horrid enslavement conditions and only use slave for clarity when necessary. And so let's talk about this journey and talk about the history that so many Blacks have overcome. From approximately 1525 to 1866, more than 12 million Africans were forcibly transported across the Middle Passage to serve as slaves in the New World. Enslaved people would be stuffed in compartments with ceilings as low as 4.5 feet, where they would spend most of their voyage. There were no sanitary facilities of any kind. Enslaved people were forced to relieve themselves where they sat or lie, creating hellish conditions when combined with heat and lack of ventilation below deck. Disease was rampant, such as yellow fever, smallpox, measles, influenza, which ravaged the enslaved and crew alike. Enslaved people who refused to eat their typical meal of rice and beans were forced to do so, sometimes with a speculum oris, which is a medieval tool used to force open a person's mouth. And enslaved women, while usually left unshackled, were raped and sexually abused by members of the crew, sometimes arriving in the New World carrying the children of their attackers. The true extent of the horrors of the Middle Passage came to light in a 1783 court trial over a slave ship called Zong. The Zong left present-day Ghana in 1781 with 442 enslaved on board. After a two-month journey riddled with navigation errors, 62 enslaved people and 7 crew members had perished without reaching their destination. Disease was spreading throughout the ship and fresh water was running dangerously low. Captain Luke Collingwood was afraid of the financial costs of more deaths of enslaved people that died of disease, and they weren't covered by the ship's insurance. But the enslaved who drowned were. Collingwood ordered somewhere around 130 enslaved people thrown overboard. He claimed it was necessary to do so to halt the spread of the disease. At the trial between the Zong's owners and their insurance company, the owners argued that because it was legal to kill sick animals for the health of the ship, it was legal to treat enslaved people the same. The court agreed with the ship's owners, but the trial itself exposed the horrors aboard the Zong. The story was republished by British abolitionists with the name of the ship redacted to show that this tragedy could happen on any ship transporting people across the Middle Passage. 24 years after the Zong trial, the international slave trade was outlawed in both Great Britain and the United States. It would take the United States another 58 years plus a civil war before the practice of enslavement was officially abandoned. The Zong Massacre. So what can we say? Painful, horrific, troubling, disturbing. And yet still we rise, as Dr. Maya Angelou, may she rest in peace and power, would state. The conditions of enslavement were the gruesome. Diets consisted of cornmeal and salt pork. The weather conditions of the South made health problems similar to the Middle Passage journey, such as yellow fever, dysentery, and malaria. That was common. These slave codes reinforced the concept that slaves were property and prevented slaves from having any rights. The enslaved lived in crude quarters that left them exposed to bad weather and disease. Slaves were punished for not working fast, being late, talking back, running away, and other reasons. And the punishment? It included whippings, torture, mutilation, imprisonment, and the threat of abusing a loved one or killing a loved one and being sold away. The conditions of enslavement. And so we can say this happened in the past, but we can also say that the legacy and oftentimes the spirit, the theology of white supremacy lives today. The lengths to which white Southern patriarchy went to defend the supposed innocence of white femininity can be seen in how many Black men paid the cost with their lives, livelihoods, and liberty. I'm reminded of Matt Ingram, a Black tenant farmer in Yanceyville, North Carolina, found himself looking in the direction of Willa Jean Boswell, a 17-year-old white woman in the neighborhood in 1951. It did not go very well for Ingram. In a case that took 2.5 years, this Black man, Ingram, would be caused emotional and financial distress, as well as being alienated from his family. This woman, Boswell, she accused Ingram of making her feel uncomfortable, as if he had intentions to force himself on her. Now, this is in spite of the fact that she was 75 feet away from Ingram. For 2 years, Ingram was in prison awaiting retrials. In the end, the Superior Court granted Ingram his freedom, pointing out that it cannot be said that a pedestrian may be assaulted by a look, however frightening, from a person riding in an automobile some distance away. He may have looked with lustful eyes, but there was the absence of any overt act. Juneteenth, a federal holiday now, where we celebrate. We celebrate the Black community, we celebrate the legacy, we celebrate the resilience. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. And I'm talking about Juneteenth. Juneteenth, it's a federal holiday in our country now. It commemorates the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. So I'm connecting this to sports. I'm connecting this because it's important for us all to understand the history in our country. And I want to go back in time so that we have clear understanding in terms of how we got to where we are today and how we can find additional respect to those great Black athletes, knowing the history of what our people endured. Emancipation Proclamation, January 1, 1863, as our nation approached its third year of bloody civil war, this proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states are and henceforward shall be free. Emancipation Proclamation. The 13th Amendment, that was passed by Congress on January 31st. 1865. Yes, 2 years later. It was passed by Congress in January, and yet it wasn't ratified until December 6, 1865. What took so long? I think that question can be asked today. The 13th Amendment, it abolished enslavement in the United States and provided that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment of a crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And so the Emancipation Proclamation declared, again, January 1, 1863, all enslaved people in the states currently engaged in rebellion against the Union shall be forever free. Lincoln didn't actually free all of the approximately 4 million men, women, and children held in slavery in the United States, though. The document applied only to enslaved people in the Confederacy and not to those in the border states that remained loyal to the Union. And of course, one can question whether or not Lincoln had any rights, had any power, had any authority to say what could happen in the Confederacy anyway. At the outset of that conflict, Lincoln insisted that the war was not about freeing enslaved people in the South, but about preserving the Union. That was clear. Four border slave states, Delaware, Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri, remained on the Union side, and many others in the North also opposed abolition. Abolitionists argued that freeing enslaved people in the South would help the Union win the war, as enslaved labor was vital. It was vital to the Confederate war effort. And so that proclamation, it was a military measure. The proclamation redefined the Civil War, turning it from a struggle to preserve the Union to one focused on ending slavery, and set a decisive course for how our nation would be reshaped after that historic conflict. Juneteenth. So on June 19th, as in Juneteenth, on June 19th, 1865, months after the 13th Amendment was passed by Congress, Union General Gordon Granger led thousands of federal troops to Galveston, Texas, to announce that the Civil War had ended and enslaved persons were now free. Again, it was a military order, General Order 3. His speech included a reading of that order. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with proclamation for the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. And the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. Juneteenth, Freedom Day. Those formerly enslaved immediately sought to establish schools, run for political offices, advocate for legislation, fight for change, and reunite with family members from whom they had been separated during enslavement. Now considering 246 years of enslavement, this was nothing short of remarkable, not even a full generation removed from enslavement. Going back to 1619, when that first ship, that white line, arrived on the shores of the Virginia colony, modern day Hampton, Virginia, with 20 to 30 Africans. Juneteenth, this was nothing short of remarkable. And so as we celebrate, as we enjoy Juneteenth, we think about all the accomplishments. We think about the wonderful things. And so, for example, we think about some of the amazing inventions, some of the amazing inventions that Black inventors created to help our society. How about the three-light traffic signal, refrigerated trucks, automatic elevator doors, color monitors for desktop computers, to the shape of the modern ironing board, the clothes wringer, blood banks, laser treatment for cataracts, home security systems, and the Super Soaker children's toy, all invented by Black people. Now, Thomas Edison, he's credited with inventing the light bulb, but it was a Black man, Louis Latimer, the son of formerly enslaved people, who patented a new filament that extended the lifespan of light bulbs so they wouldn't die out after a few days. Latimer got a patent for his invention in 1882, something countless Black innovators in the generations before him were unable to do. This is the legacy that our great Black athletes stand on. So indulge me as I recognize greats such as Jackie Robinson, Althea Gibson, Tiger Woods, Jesse Owens, Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, Arthur Ashe, Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jack Johnson, Jackie Joyner Kersee, Florence Griffith Joyner, Joe Louis, Hank Aaron, Simone Biles, Lisa Leslie, Fritz Pollard, Curt Flood, Willie Mays, Magic Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron James, Frank Robinson, Jerry Rice, Barry Bonds, Charlie Sifford, Doug Williams, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Johnson, Bo Jackson, Alice Coachman, Carl Lewis, Layla Ali, George Foreman, Barry Sanders, Mike Tyson, Stephen Curry, Maya Moore, Tony Dungy, Shaquille O'Neal, Debbie Thomas, Cheryl Miller. I could go on and on. This is the legacy. We must remember our history. Juneteenth. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. Juneteenth, a federal holiday. It's celebrated annually in some way in nearly every state. Many families and communities commemorate this legacy of resilience and hope with cookouts, parades, parties, concerts, and other similar events that affirm Black culture. And so I ask you to join in with the many events that are taking place in our community and across the country. Join us as the country, with its glorious and flawed history, recognizes our community. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring to your attention again the challenge, the difficulty, the terrible experience that Brittany Griner, WNBA star, her situation, being in Russian custody for 119 days. A timeline for her return home has now gotten longer. It was recently reported that a Russian court extended her pretrial detention, forcing her to remain in custody until at least July 2nd. This particular district court of the Moscow region had already extended Griner's pretrial detention twice. And now it's been extended again. I'm very thankful that the State Department and our governmental leaders have shifted gears and asked us to be more vocal, to be more public about this, as in to state our concern, to make our pleas known publicly that we want Brittany home. Members of her WNBA team, the Phoenix Mercury, they met with the State Department officials just a few days ago on June 13th. And it's been confirmed that officials from the State Department's specialized office, the office that advocates for hostages and wrongfully detained Americans, that they were in these meetings. Truly an expected Hall of Famer, Diana Taurasi, captain of the Mercury, she released a statement. Taurasi stated that there's a lot involved in getting Brittany back home and safe, and they're working relentlessly. We're here to do whatever we can to amplify and keep Brittany Griner at the forefront, which is more important than any basketball game and anything else that's going on in our lives. We want Brittany to come home as soon as possible. It's number one on our list. And so as we continue to lift up athletes and coaches and all this amazing entertainment that they provide for us, remember that they are humans. They are Americans. They laugh and they cry. They experience joy and they experience pain. And oftentimes we forget that. We just see them as machines. Perform for us. We purchased a ticket. Do this, do that. Not thinking about the mental state of many athletes. And especially when a family member, a loved one, a teammate is in harm's way. We're hopeful that Brittany is safe. We are very hopeful that she's safe. Brittany Griner, we think about you, we pray for you, and those in positions of power are working. I trust that they're working hard and smart to bring her home. Happy Juneteenth. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.